This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 566 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my Talk Franklin conversation with Town Administrator Jamie Helen and Marketing Communications Specialist Anne Marie Tracy. We had our conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about the pop shop grants. One shop has just opened, one is coming soon. Talk about the Maple Hill right of first refusal and two more public hearings, one from the Finance Committee on Wednesday and one from the Community Preservation Committee on Thursday. Links to the key topics concluded here are in the show notes. Listen to my conversation with Jamie and Anne Marie. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, 102.9 on the local area dial and WFPR.FM anywhere on the internet. Today, we have another Talk Franklin session with our town administrator, Jamie Helen. Jamie, happy Friday.
Friday, Steve. Beautiful day out.
Beautiful day. Good weekend ahead. And Anne Marie Tracy, this is your last time we'll be talking with you officially as part of Talk Franklin. Bittersweet.
Officially in my role, yes. This is my last episode, so...
Down the road, we'll have to have you come back for a guest episode on another topic. Who knows?
Sounds good.
Because you're we'll still take her in back Franklin, at any time. Just moving on to other things. And I think to start off with, certainly you've been heavy working on the pop shop. Actually opens today, although by the time it comes out, people hopefully will have spent some time on the weekend with it.
Exactly. I'm so excited about this opening and then the other shop that's going to be opening shortly thereafter. For people out there who don't know, the town of Franklin received a grant from the Massachusetts Executive Office of Housing and Economic Development to open a series of pop-up shops in vacant spaces in our downtown to help with economic development, to help with, you know, people who are trying to start a business and maybe got derailed by COVID or just are nervous about making that leap from maybe having a side gig in the garage and not sure if they can swing it in a brick and mortar. So this grant came along and we were very excited to jump all over it. And before you know it, we have two pop-up shops opening. So there's one right downtown on Main Street, which is opening today and will be open throughout the weekend and then for months thereafter. The business who went in is Greco Design Company. It's a locally owned small business. The owner was working out of her garage prior and selling things online. And it is just the cutest shop for home decor. She's an artist, so she does hand-painted watercolors, hand-painted wood signage for, you know, your house or whatever you're looking for. She'll do watercolors of your home. And there's also clothing. It's boutique-y. There's so much to look at and so much to enjoy. So I really hope that the Franklin community and other communities nearby, residents will come in and check it out and look at her shop and see all the great things that she has to offer to our downtown.
Downtown, certainly in a good location with the, I believe it's the Allstate offices, but otherwise somewhat officially known as the Camford development, because there's two buildings there right at East Central, between, what is it, Ruggles and I want to say Alpine.
Alpine, yep, exactly. So that's the other location. The Greco Design Company is actually in the old Elite Barbershop right by Bamboo House. So she's right downtown. And the transformation of that space, whenever anybody goes in to look at it, you should ask her to see the before and after. What she's done just with her decorating talent is unbelievable. So it looks fantastic. The other space that you're talking about, Steve, on East Central is in the Camford building. And that one is going to be opening in a couple of weeks. And that one is going to be a little bit more of a transient pop-up. We're doing, you know, two kind of experiments, a long-term one and one that people will come in and out of. So the first business that is going into that location is the Republic of Hustle and Flow. And they are a boutique yoga bar fitness studio. So they're starting out there. And then I'm hoping that we're also had some interest from the Franklin Art Association that I'm thinking we're going to be using it as a temporary gallery space for a little bit of time as well, which is a wonderful way to use a space in the community.
Absolutely. Because I know when I talked with the couple of artists who are displaying at Rockland Trust and Agway with Melanie, that conversation, they were touting certainly the Franklin Art Association 50th anniversary and the need to have a downtown display space. And that's why one of the reasons they were looking forward to this art walk, because they were able to do that, at least on a temporary basis. So if we can utilize the pop shop potentially, then that'll be great. Yes.
Yeah, that was actually written into the grant, was to use the space somewhat as a space for artists and artisans. And I'm sure, just knowing you, both of you knowing me very well, I have a special spot in my heart for artists and artisans. It was specifically written into the grant to make sure that space could be used for that particular use. So I'm sure that will come along. I'm not sure exactly what the time frame will be for that, but that's who's starting off in the pop-up shops. And it's wonderful just to see, you know, when I was helping, you know, working on the project downtown and stopping by and just going through some of the processes to get it set up. So many people walked by, peeked in the windows, what's going on in here, asking all kinds of questions. It's just great to see, you know, some new life, and it'll hopefully bring some great traffic downtown, which will help all the existing businesses. Mm-hmm. Just the interest of something new, and just the variety, something different in the Franklin market. So I'm excited about not only what it's doing for the new business moving in, the new businesses, but also for the downtown and Franklin as a whole.
Agreed. And that's one of the things, certainly, you're well aware, and I helped in the steering committee role for the 3 years prior to getting the cultural district established, which that's effectively the purpose, to highlight the cultural arts, of which there are many, one of which is the visual arts, in order to try and help that collaboration and bring business into downtown Franklin. And realistically, art can say things in ways that words in some cases can't, although there's word art as well. But, you know, a picture can tell the story, you know, pictures a thousand words. So, yeah, having that and then having the conversations come out of those, that's all going to be goodness, I hope.
I think it's fantastic. And I couldn't agree with you more. Just, I think people in this area, people in Franklin love something unique and different. So when you're talking about an artist, you know, you're not finding it anywhere else. You're not finding those things, you know, at every corner store and, you know, wherever you go. It's something unique. And I think it's special to have artists and just unique businesses in our town that would make it a destination for people to come and check out. The other part of this that I think we are just about to kind of, it's connected. As part of this grant, we also were able to do some really fun and unique marketing techniques for not only the pop-up shops, but again, thinking more about Franklin as a whole and just trying to market all the wonderful things that happen in this community. So we just launched yesterday, the town of Franklin officially has our own Giphy channel, which is super fun. We have a bunch
of non-techie, what's a Giphy channel? Is that something on YouTube? Is that something on cable?
I'm going to learn about it right now myself.
So it's actually available on so many different venues. You can use it in text, you can use it on Twitter, you can use it on Instagram, Facebook, you know, stories, Snapchat. I mean, you name it. If it's anything digital that you're doing, you can use these. So the town of Franklin, if you go to Giphy and search for at Franklin Pop Shop, the whole channel comes up, and there's all these really great animated stickers that you can use in communicating via text and in posting on your Instagram. And they highlight some of the really fun things about our town. You know, some of them are just welcome and having fun in Franklin, but there's one specifically of a library book opening. There's one specific of the gazebo in the common, you know, dancing with music notes coming out of it for all the wonderful concerts we have coming up. Sure. And of course, we have Ben Franklin. So I hope that people will check these out. They're really fun to use. And it's just a really unique way to draw attention to Franklin and to what's happening here. And all of the businesses can use these. There's five more coming out in a couple of weeks that will highlight, you know, dining in Franklin or a playgrounds in Franklin. So we really just tried to think about all the wonderful things that you can do here and come up with a modern, fun way to draw attention to them.
They'll be useful. And I think it goes further. And to your credit as well, you've not only expanded kind of the social media uses in the digital formats across the multiple platforms, but you've taken it to that next step in making these automations. So instead of
somebody just creating a PDF and then making a JPEG or another file that nice and easily shared. Now you've got some animation built into it as well. So it's going to catch attention.
Yeah, you can find them right on your phone. You literally can just click on the little GIF sticker on your phone and type in Franklin Pop Shop and they all come up and you can just use them on all of your different devices. And they're super fun. I'm just excited about them. It's just a different way to put Franklin on the map, literally, yes. And put it in everybody's hands to use. So they're out there for visitors, residents, businesses, everybody to use to just spread the word about our town.
Well, there'll be more on that to be used as we go forward for sure.
And in speaking of all this, I mean, as you can tell, Anne-Marie is pretty excited and she has every right to be excited because it is exciting. When we talk about economic development in Franklin, I mean, this is the stuff, we always had in mind with this kind of a position. And obviously it's, as you heard earlier, it's sad to see Anne-Marie go. We're really, in a lot of ways, feel like it's our success as a community because we were able to give her this platform. And I have to say, getting to know Anne-Marie really out of the gate, it was pretty quick for me as the administrator to realize that empowering her to allow her talents to flourish was an obvious decision on my part to make pretty quickly. And while we sit here and hear her enthusiasm, and we hear about what's coming to Franklin, I can't help but, at least note, allowing her to do her thing, if you will, has really resulted in some tremendous improvements to the community. In addition to this, she's also applied for a grant that we'll then take credit for to buy some jersey barriers and some lighting, some outdoor seating, so we can do some more shared streets events. We hope to hear about that later on in the year. And obviously her business guide and her business connectivity and business relationships as we spread in Franklin with all the additional marketing and social media aspects and these podcasts, Steve. Yes. All of this is just a short minute worth of the incredible efforts that that Anne-Marie has done since she's been here. So we're not surprised, obviously, that there were others out there looking in the business world, looking for talent, and in a pandemic moment when we're all coming out of this. As you know, Steve, some people here are retiring a lot. Some are leaving for other jobs. We're also able to attract new people. I mean, it's just also, I think, a big part of the process every family in town and across the state are going through in terms of reevaluating their lives. And here's a wonderful opportunity for Anne-Marie to go off and, I know she's got some expensive college bills coming someday soon too, which is unquestionably a justified right. So we're hopeful maybe even someday, when those college bills are paid, she'll come back and join the town of Franklin. But couldn't speak enough of Anne-Marie's skill set, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, Steve. It's not a surprise.
No, not a surprise. And it certainly has been fun working with her on the town's behalf. It's been a great collaboration. She's been pushing the envelope in many ways. And I'm glad you've given her the space to just go and push, because that's helped. I think people will, if they haven't already recognized, they will recognize in that gap in between. And hopefully there won't be too much of a gap of whoever's going to have to fill her shoes. But it's there and it's good for her. And having had a couple of daughters go through college, yeah, I know what she's going into. So,
yeah, I've truly loved working with both of you and with everyone here at the town of Franklin and the schools. It's been such a fun and exciting ride. I know that both of you already know this. I'm very attached to this job. It's my town, it's my school district. And I think that has maybe contributed to my enthusiasm on a few levels, but it's just been wonderful. And everyone here is just so great to work with. But within the organization, Steve, you're not within the organization, but I kind of consider you part of the organization because you're so involved in everything that we do. And
a lot of people still think I work for the town too.
I know. I can't thank you enough for all the help. I mean, you've been an incredible resource for a lot of the parts of what I've been trying to do in my job, especially during the pandemic, and helping literally bridge all these communications and conversations. So it's just been great. So I'm somebody's going to come in and take what's here and run with it and keep it going.
Yeah. And if for people, if by chance they had missed what you've been doing, I'll include the link to the town council meeting. What was it, a couple of weeks ago, where you followed Pete? He gave you a great intro. And then your enthusiasm just bubbled through what, the next 15, 20 minutes. It was nonstop. And I don't know how anybody could have continued the meeting after that, because clearly your passion, as Jamie recognized just a few minutes ago, and we're hearing all the time when we talk to you, it's there, it's evident. And I wish you the best of luck in your, not that you're going that far because you're still around, but shifting in another role, and best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
The price is getting heavier though, Steve. And so, it is a little more challenging. I was joking with her earlier. She's going to kill me for saying this, but I was trying to even wedge in there. Hey, you're such a civic minded person. You come in to volunteer every once in a while. And I got college bills. So I think the rate for us, Steve, here in the future might be going up. If it's an ad hoc consulting rate, we can find something. Great for her, and just as important, great for her family too.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not going far. I still live here. I still am part of the town. You'll see me around.
Yeah. And I'm sure she won't be bashful if we do something that she either likes or doesn't like.
That's right. And speaking of Anne Marie staying in town, and obviously being from here, she does live over in the neighborhood, one of the neighborhoods of our next topic, Steve, Maple Hill, which means we continue to know she'll be involved because she'll be watching this open space process now as a citizen and somebody hopefully in herself is more illuminated to what's going on over there. So we had a public hearing this week at the town council meeting for all the listeners out there, for the almost 70 acres of open space that are available for the town to buy at a, surprising to say this, but a pretty affordable price at $4.59 million. But as the presentation showed, we just tweeted it out, Steve, so you'll be able to get a copy of it, and we post it online and people can go look at that presentation. But it sounded for me that the council at the public hearing and the public that came to spoke were articulate in really trying to lay the groundwork towards what's really ultimately going to be a historic moment, where the town of Franklin has never exercised a right of first refusal before on a piece of open space. From my perch, I think that's a very dramatic change in policy direction for this community. And I think you have now, and I think you heard it too, Steve, I'm sure you have a few things to say about it, but a few of the counselors are kind of also looking out in the future of just this one. What's next and how do we make sure that the town maintains that resource and those revenue streams somehow to be able to continue to do this stuff. So there's a couple public hearings additionally coming up after the listeners hear this show on Wednesday the 16th, the Finance Committee at 6 p.m. And then the ultimate vote from the Community Preservation Committee on the 17th of June at 5 p.m. That's the most critical vote on the Finance Committee.
Yeah, and for the listeners, some of them will be aware, I just talked yesterday as well with Tom Mercer for our quarterbacking session. Without repeating too much, but clearly I think it was credit to the town, because having been in my reporting role for the 15 plus years, we've had at least a couple of other opportunities where financially we just were not in a position to do so. We did not have the money. We could have borrowed, but it would have been, and I think in your second option was, the debt override, which is possible, but the timing, the process, and that to try and do that within 120 days becomes problematic. Yeah. Here, because of the financial prudence and financial process the town has been in the last 6 to 8 years specifically, where we've built up the open space account. So now that's a little aside. We've got the Pond Street money, which is available, mm-hmm. and we've made the critical effort in terms of passing the Community Preservation Act, which gives us additional lending capability. Now it is affordable for us to buy, use the Pond Street money, turn, as I think people were saying, kind of a not so good property into a great property, mm-hmm. and then leverage some, and that's the key piece, because we're not really mortgaging the entire community preservation funds going forward. It's just a portion of that over the 20 years, according to the proposal. So from my point of view, I see it as a win-win-win, and kudos to the town for being in the position to be able to do so.
We've been trying, as you know, to stash some money away and just do the best we can to save. But, you know, I mean, I think right now the town's options would be much, much more limited, not just this parcel, but anything, certainly without Community Preservation Act. You know, it's hard in America these days to get 60% of the public to agree on anything.
Right.
That the sky is blue. and here we had an overwhelming victory. We respect that, that, you know, there's still 40% of the public that was opposed to it. But maybe this is one of those things where even some of the people that were opposed to it didn't vote for the act, you know, they're going to see the surcharge on their bills starting in July and August when they get them in the mail. And I'm hopeful that this type of, you know, policy in terms of purchasing the property, you know, there may be some people that were know about this early on, and maybe this is a big benefit to show how this works and what's possible, you know, when that bill hits the mail in the summer. So it's really exciting to be able to do something really important and really big, you know, out of the gate with community preservation, I think, you know, and have the opportunity to do that, I think is just lucky, but still the opportunity to do that right when people are paying their first bill and their first share on it, I think is an important visual for the community that this thing really works, yeah, you know, it really actually works. And then behind the scenes, to be in the position, you look at the other eight communities that passed that passed CPA last November. Most of them are still struggling to even approve a bylaw and appoint a committee.
Right.
And here we are 6 months after that passed with a full bylaw, a working bylaw, a committee that's already met multiple times, already had open space as a presentation,
yeah,
and has an overview.
Covered the significant areas that are part
covered
of it.
The significant within areas
one or,
there.
One or two are left, I think, but that's minor considering.
We did recreation, that's right. But you know, the committee's already met several times. They've gotten their background training. They've started to build relationships. They're ready to dig in a little deeper. You know, I've seen in like the city of Framingham, you know, and a few other communities, they haven't even really proposed bylaws yet. Nobody's appointed to a committee yet. A couple communities like Framingham, it's been very political between the mayor and the city council. There's been vetoes of the bylaw and who's going to appoint who, and a big fight over who's going to appoint people. We don't have that here. It's just another thing, I think, that we frequently talk on this podcast. Mm. I mean, Anne-Marie's leaving, but still, I mean, you know, the economic development ideas that are coming out of this community. I mean, we just cover a couple topics today, but as I said at the budget hearings, I think that as we emerge from this pandemic, I think we're you know, we're actually more prepared for the future than we've ever been in the community. So that's good stuff.
Yeah. As an observer of multiple meetings, certainly as most of you are aware and listeners are aware because they follow my notes usually, I think the one key piece, and Franklin certainly has multiple, you know, benefits. The people are great. The one key piece I would, and it's hard to pick one, but the willingness to listen. Mm-hmm. And then to have the respectful conversation. Granted, it's not happening all the time, but most of the time around the government, you know, from EDC with the listening sessions,
yep,
and then making changes. It raised earlier, and the CPA has been a conversation for multiple years, and then it finally happened, right? And now we get a chance to actually put all of that in motion and actually do something with it. So, yeah, if maybe somebody was not so sure what was going to happen, now we'll be able to give them the opportunity to see. And clearly, this is the purchase price. There will still be other expenses in terms of whatever we're going to do in terms of trails or however the property is going to be used, and then for maintaining it and caring for it. But those are relatively minor in the comparison to at yeah. least now we have it. And it won't burden the town to a certain extent with whatever 50 or 60 houses would come in and bringing in, you know, that many, that much more population in school kids, where, as we've talked before, you know, one house and call it an average 6,000 property rate, but we're spending 14,000 to educate the student. We're in a negative position on a residence. So yeah. it was for many, many, many reasons. I'll tout those two, that the ability to listen and to have a discussion gets us to a good point.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. And, you know, I mean, a little bit of a sidebar to kind of close out. I mean, for me personally and professionally, I mean, as you know, Steve, you know, as a young 22-year-old college graduate.
That was your first thing.
You know, my first job was working for the Cellucci and Swift administrations with Secretary Bob Durand. And this was his legislative priority. And I was there the day the law was signed. I can still visualize it. I have a photo on my wall in my office at the Payne Estate in Waltham in September of 2000. A newly appointed town administrator, Jeff Nutting, 2001, you know, right after the election was over. Jeff Nutting's third or fourth month on the job, says, yeah, we got to get in this game, and brings a, doesn't know it, but brings a 24-year-old state employee out to give a presentation to the Franklin Town Council on the Community Preservation Act and how it works in the November fall of 2001. And what a funny way the world works. We're 20 years later in 2021, we're sitting here with an approved Community Preservation Act, and now we're buying open space, and I'm sitting here as the town's town administrator. It's just, it's like a really, really, you know, funny story. But to see it work, I've seen it work for my whole career in other communities, and to see it be able to work in Franklin is, you know, incredibly gratifying.
Yeah. And it kudos. And we've said in other places, other conversations, that government works slowly, but when it works well. And you're able to see, to do yeah. the bookends on this one in particular.
And, you know, Alan Earls introduced me that night. I will admit, I did not remember Alan when I met him, but Alan was one of the first people that reached out to me when I got the job to mm-hmm. meet. And, you know, he was the open space committee chair at the
time. Sure.
But I do remember going to the old Franklin Municipal Building. I can actually remember it a little bit, but it's funny how all that comes full circle, you know, 20 years later. So you're right in that point. It's a great point. You know, this stuff does have a bookends. It does come back, and this is a great example.
I think that covers us for the major pieces, and we can kind of close with another good luck. I'm sure we'll see you around town, but good luck in your new ventures, Anne-Marie.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Absolutely. And for the listeners, we'll be back in another 2 weeks for more of what's happening here as we talk Franklin.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.